Okay, so let's unpack this for a second. I want you to imagine the sort of digital plumbing of your daily life. Not the big stuff like roads, but the community stuff.
The invisible layer.
Exactly. You sign your kid up for swim lessons at the YMCA. You pay for a camping permit at a state park.
Or you register for that local 5K turkey trot.
Right. And the giant behind the curtain for a huge chunk of this is a company called Acetiv Network. They're the backbone for something like, what, 6,300 organizations?
It's massive. We're talking camp managers, race directors, park districts.
It's sturdy, it's reliable, it handles the payments. But let's be honest, it is not exactly a content factory.
No, not at all. It's operational software. It's built for logistics, not for, going viral on TikTok.
Right. So the whole premise of today's deep dive is this collision. We're taking that really utilitarian logistical backbone active network, and we are smashing it together with this hyperspeed industrial grade content engine called Auto Content API.
It's a classic old world meets new world thing. On one side, you have the documentation for active, it's established, it's essential. And on the other, you have auto content, which says it's a content transformation engine.
And the mission here really is to see if combining these two actually solves a real problem, or if it's just, adding more tech noise.
Because the claim is a big one. They're saying this integration could turn a local parks and rec department into a multimedia powerhouse.
Which sounds a little out there, but when you start to look at what the source material calls the production bottleneck, you start to see why it might be necessary.
If you are a camp director, your main job is making sure the counselors show up on time and the canoes don't sink.
Right.
You do not have time to also be a media company.
But the parents, the runners, the community, they kind of expect you to be one now, don't they?
That's the tension right there. The modern internet demands constant high-quality media, but the reality for active users is they just can't afford the price of admission to that game.
Okay, so let's get specific. Let's set the scene with Acetiv. If you've ever used their Camp and Class Manager or Active Work Endurance platforms, you get the vibe. It's all about spreadsheets, waivers, capacity limits.
It's for the logistics pros, for sure. And yeah, they do have features they call marketing and communications, but if you look at the docs, that usually just means an email blast or an SMS reminder.
It's a very text-heavy.
Super text-heavy, which brings us right to the friction point that auto content is trying to solve, content saturation.
Explain that.
It's just simple economics. Distribution is basically free. It costs you $0 to upload a video to YouTube. It costs you nothing to put a podcast on Spotify.
But making it.
But production is incredibly expensive.
The numbers in the report were actually, they were staggering to me. I don't think we realize how much this stuff costs.
They're really start to outsource a single good podcast episode, and we're talking the whole nine yards, recording, editing, mixing. You are looking at anywhere from $100 on the super low end to like 15,000 for a professional job.
Wow. And a video.
A decent video. You aren't getting out of bed for less than 3 grand.
And if I'm running a local charity 5K, I definitely do not have a spare $3,000 to make a 30-second Instagram reel about where to park.
You absolutely don't. So what's the result? You send a long text-heavy email, you go quiet on social media, you fail to engage because that barrier to entry is way too high.
And this is where the aha moment happened for me reading the auto content docs. It's that Active has all the data. They have the race schedule, the camp brochure as a PDF, the class descriptions.
And auto content has the engine.
Right.
The term they kept using is content transformation. And this is a really critical distinction to make. We aren't talking about generative AI in the sense of like asking ChatGPT to just invent a marketing campaign from nothing.
It's not just making things up.
No, it's about, and I'm quoting here, decoupling ideation from production. You give it the source of truth, like that PDF race guide, and the API becomes your production studio. It automatically transforms that static text into all these dynamic formats.
So it shifts from me sitting down and manually writing a script.
To automated transformation, precisely. It turns content creation from like an art form into symbol infrastructure.
Okay, let's make this real for a listener. I want to talk about the audio revolution part because this is where I saw the most immediate practical use.
Audio is interesting, right? Because it's a passive consumption medium. You can do it while you're doing something else.
Exactly. So, scenario one.
Yeah.
I'm a runner. I sign up for a marathon using ActiveWorks Endurance. A week before the race, I get the email. You know the one I'm talking
Oh,
about.
I know it well, the wall of text.
It's 10 pages long, just huge blocks of text about bib pickup, gear check, elevation changes.
And let's be honest, do you actually read the whole thing?
I skim it. I look for bold text. And I usually miss something really important, like the main parking lot closes at 5 a.m. and then I'm just panicking on race morning.
That is the standard user experience. It's total information overload. Now imagine active plugs in, auto contents, audio overviews, endpoint. The race director uploads that exact same PDF guide.
Okay.
The API analyzes it, not just the words, but the whole structure of the information.
And it generates what? Like this? What we're doing right now?
Essentially, yes. It can generate a deep dive style podcast, two voices, a host and an expert, just talking through the race guide. They can banter. They can emphasize the critical points.
Hey, watch out for mile 18. It's a killer uphill. Save your energy there. That kind of thing.
Exactly that. Or just a reminder, you have to get to lot B before 6 a.m. or you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge shift in engagement. You could listen to that on your drive to the expo.
Or on my last shakeout run, it turns what feels like homework into actual content.
And for the race director, think about the operational win. It cuts down on support tickets. If people actually know where to park because they listened, they aren't emailing you at 4 a.m. in a panic.
But the big question is, does it sound, you know, robotic? We've all heard that terrible text-to-speech.
The GPS voice having a bad day?
That's the old tech. The new wave and what Otter Content claims to use is all about prosodic modeling. It mimics the breath, the hesitation, the intonation of a real human. The reviews in the source material actually describe the voices as natural, steady, and believable.
That's key. And that leads to the second audio idea, which feels even more powerful for, say, a YMCA or a government client, the voice cloning feature.
This one tackles the CEO paradox. In any community, people want to feel a connection to the leader. They want to hear from the camp director or the mayor.
But those people are incredibly busy.
They cannot spend hours a week in a recording booth. So with this, the director records their voice one time. Just a few minutes of audio is all it needs to train the model. After that, the active system could generate weekly community updates.
Or camp welcome messages personally addressed to Perrin.
Exactly. All narrated by the director's cloned voice, but without the director ever having to pick up a microphone again.
So on Monday morning, the system sees a new swim class schedule, and it just generates a 60-second audio clip.
Hey, families, this is Director Sarah. Just a quick heads up, the pool is closing early on Tuesday.
Precisely. It lets you scale that personal touch. And, you know, you have to be transparent that it's an AI update, but the utility for the parent is huge. They get the info in a way that feels personal and it's just easy to consume.
Okay, so we've covered the ears. But we live in a visual world. If I'm looking for a summer camp for my kid, I want to see what it's like.
And this is where the bottleneck gets really tight. Video is hard. It's so technical.
The source material talks about a faceless channel strategy. That sounds a little ominous, but what does it mean?
It just means creating video content that doesn't require a person to stand in front of a camera and, you know, perform. For a user of CampLane Class Manager, the biggest challenge in selling a slot in a pottery class is that parents want to visualize the experience.
Right. Is the room bright? Is it clean? What are the kids actually going to be doing? But filming is a production nightmare. So Otter Content has these explainer video and shorts endpoints. And the way it works is incredibly simple. You just paste a link, say the registration page for that pottery class, and the API crawls all the text.
And then what?
It figures out the key selling points. Creative, hands-on, Tuesday nights. It grabs relevant stock footage or assets you've already uploaded. It writes a little script, generates a voiceover, and edits it all into a vertical 60-second video that's ready for TikTok or YouTube Shorts.
So Active could literally put a create video ad button right next to every single class in their system.
Theoretically, yes. And let's look at the economics of that. We said a manual video is, what, $3,000 minimum?
Yeah.
The source estimates the cost of an API-generated video is about 400 credits.
Which translates to how much real money?
About 4 euros, right. So maybe $4.50.
$4 versus 3,000. That's not just a discount. That's a total market collapse.
It completely changes the behavior. If a video costs you $3,000, you make one generic video and use it for the whole year. If a video costs you $4, you can do what they call creative testing at scale.
Meaning?
Meaning the local rec center can generate 10 different versions of that pottery ad. One that focuses on relaxation, another on making friends, a third on building skills. They run them all on social media and see which one actually drives signups through the iSictiv portal.
That's the kind of A/B testing that, until now, only huge brands like Nike or Coke could afford. Now the local park district can do it.
Right. It democratizes sophisticated marketing. But there's another benefit here that's purely algorithmic. SEO. The experts pointed to dwell time.
How long someone stays on the web page, right?
Correct. Google watches that. If it's just a wall of text, people scan and they're gone in 10 seconds. If there's a video, they'll press play. They'll watch for 45 seconds.
And to Google, that signals quality content.
Exactly. The source claims that just by embedding these auto-generated videos, you can make a landing page 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
So by using this, the local camp doesn't just look better. They actually get found by more people because the algorithm prefers them.
It drives the very top of the funnel. You can't register for a camp that you can't find in the first place.
I wanted to shift gears to something that I think is critical for Activist's client base. I mean, they serve governments, universities, huge global events. That means they are dealing with really diverse populations.
Yes. Inclusion is a massive mandate for these organizations. It's not just about selling tickets. It's about serving the community.
So the auto content source says it supports over 50 languages. How does that actually play out in the Activiv ecosystem? Is this just like Google Translate with subtitles that are half wrong?
It goes a lot deeper than that. The term they use is resynthesis.
Okay, break that down for me.
Okay, so let's say a city using ActiveNet releases a summer heat safety guide. Normally that's in English. Maybe if they have the budget, they'll get a text-only PDF translation.
Which almost nobody reads.
Right. But with the API, the scenario is that one guide gets instantly transcribed, translated, and then resynthesized into audio and video assets in Spanish, Mandarin, Hindi, whatever languages that community needs.
Resynthesized means the audio actually matches the language.
Correct. It's a Spanish-speaking AI host explaining where the cooling centers are. It creates a completely native-feeling asset for that community.
That's huge.
From a business perspective, sure, it multiplies your total addressable market, but for the government clients, it's about equity. It's making sure the Spanish-speaking grandmother has the exact same access to critical safety info in a format she can actually use, as the English speaker does.
It's accessibility at the click of a button.
And it happens almost instantly. You're not waiting 3 weeks for a translation agency to get back to you.
Okay, so we've hit audio, video, language.
Yeah.
But there's a segment here about intelligence. The source talks about a deep research endpoint that uses things like Gemini and OpenAI agents.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit into a race director's life?
This is more for the event organizers who really need to stay ahead of the curve. The API lets them set up recurring research tasks.
Give me a concrete example.
All right, let's say you organize an obstacle course race. It's a really competitive market. You could set up a task in the system to, say, scan for new trends in obstacle course racing every Monday morning.
So the AI goes out, reads the blogs, checks the forums, that sort of thing.
It browses the live web, reads the reputable sources, and then, and this is the really cool part, it delivers a podcast briefing to the event director.
So on my commute to work, instead of listening to the news, I'm listening to a custom-made briefing on my own industry.
That's it. It summarizes the new trends, maybe mentions a competitor's new obstacle design, and delivers it all as audio. It basically turns the event director into the most informed person in their field without them having to spend hours scrolling through social media.
That is fascinating. But I have to ask the technical question.
Yeah.
Active is a big established platform. Can they actually just plug this thing in? Or is this going to be some integration nightmare?
The source material is really clear on this point. Auto content is described as API first and headless.
Headless always sounds like a horror movie to me, but I know it's a tech term.
It just means the software doesn't need its own visual dashboard to work.
Yeah.
It's designed to fit behind the existing Active dashboard. It gets triggered by code, not clicks.
So it's an invisible integration.
Yes. And they also mention integrations with workflow tools like Make.com and Zapier, so you can imagine a workflow. A camp director adds a new class to ActiveNet. That's the trigger. The ATI sees that trigger. It then automatically writes a blog post about the class, generates a podcast episode explaining the curriculum, creates a social video for TikTok, and then distributes them all to Spotify and YouTube.
And the director didn't have to click anything.
Zero human clicks after the initial setup is done. It is true headless content production.
That is the very definition of scaling. You are effectively giving a local YMCA the media team of a multinational corporation.
That's the core value proposition right there. It shifts content from being a manual craft, something you do when you have spare time, which is never, to being scalable infrastructure.
So what does this all mean for the future? If a company like Active Network actually pulls this off, What does the landscape even look like?
Well, we'd be looking at a future where the small guy, the local camp, the Charity 5K, has the exact same media firepower as a global brand. They can be on Spotify, on TikTok, on Google Search, all powered by the same platform they're already using to take payments.
It completely levels the playing field.
It does. But there's a bigger picture here, a more provocative thought to leave you with.
All right, lay it on us.
The source material brings up this idea of the agentic web.
The agentic web, what's that?
So we're moving away from a world where humans go to Google and click on a bunch of blue links. We're moving to a world where AI agents think ChatGPT or Siri or Gemini just answer our questions directly.
Right. I don't search camps in Atlanta and browse 5 websites anymore. I just ask, what are the best science camps in Atlanta for a 10-year-old? And the AI is supposed to just tell me.
Exactly. But here is the critical part. For the AI to tell you, it needs structured data, it needs text, it needs audio with transcripts, it needs clear information that it can read. Mm-hmm. It really struggles with just raw images or messy PDFs.
Ah, I see where you're going with this.
If Active Network integrates this, they aren't just helping their clients post on Instagram. They are generating the structured data, the transcripts, the detailed video descriptions, the blog posts. That ensures when someone asks Siri or ChatGPT that question, their clients are the ones that come up in the answer.
Because the AI has something clean to read and understand.
Exactly. If you don't have that kind of content, you're basically invisible to the AI agents. So by automating all this, Active ensures their clients actually exist in the next version of the internet.
Wow. So it's not just about marketing for today. It's about survival for tomorrow.
Precisely. It's about building the fundamental infrastructure for the agentic web.
That is a massive idea to chew on. From digital plumbing to media powerhouses, this combination of Active and auto content really does sound like a game changer. I, for one, am ready for my custom-made race briefing podcast. Maybe I'll actually find the water stations this time.
I'll be looking forward to listening to it.
That's all for this deep dive. Stay curious, and we'll catch you on the next one.